gets me here. We greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Are you happy?
Yes.
Amen. Good to see you after some time. Amen.
Amen.
We appreciate your prayers. We traveled very well to Zimbabwe. Amen. So they are sending their greetings to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are sending their greetings to you.
Amen.
And they are furthermore inviting you for their national convention on the 10th of August this year.
Amen.
Amen. So if you have never been to Zimbabwe, it's your chance to prepare and be in Zimbabwe. Amen. The Zimbabwe that you read about in the newspaper is not the Zimbabwe that we go to.
Amen.
Zimbabwe is a very, very nice country.
Amen.
With a very loving people.
Amen.
Amen. So the one that you read about, I don't know where the media gets it from.
Amen.
Amen. But
hallelujah.
I've never visited such. Whenever we are there, we enjoy. Amen.
Amen.
Their food tastes better than ours.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Very special dish there. Amen. So make sure that if you want, prepare yourself so that you can come along with me in August the 10th. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Mhlabe and his wife accompanied me. I'm going to give Brother Mhlabe, after I've done what I'm doing this morning, just to say a few remarks about Zimbabwe. Amen. Let's do this. You can just take your seat. And Brother Francis Sedambuka Elenga, as he comes to the fore, with Sister Irene Mujinga Ugasa. Amen. You can clap hands for the brothers. Amen. You don't have any beats for them? Well, they do. All right. As you are busy, I just need to fetch something from the office. Amen.
Oh,
If you remember very well, we announced about the brother and the sister. The sister was in Congo, and then the arrangement with the family was done and completed with the pastor that signed. So I'm here just to officiate. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 21, it reads in this manner, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In any marital union, when the two people come into union and that union does not have an element of fear for God, then it's a recipe for disaster. Hallelujah. A man needs to find a woman that respects and fears God, and a woman must find a man that fears and respects God. Amen. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I do not believe that any pastor or any church has got any right to choose for a husband for any woman. For any woman, she's within her right to choose any man, whether tall, short, big, or whatever. She's within her right, because once she has done the choosing, then she has to do the submission. Are we together? But if I, as a pastor, would find a husband for the sister, she may struggle to submit to that husband, because that's not her husband. It's somebody that was just recommended by the pastor. Are we together? Matchmaking does not work in the message. God is the best matchmaker. Do you believe that, folks? Amen. If you ever get excited and want to do matchmaking, you must know you are cooking a recipe for disaster. And the people can turn around and blame you and say, I was not intending to marry her, but the pastor is the one that said I must marry her. Every man must choose his own wife. Every woman must choose her own husband. And once you have done the choosing, you must be into it for a long haul. Amen. It's food steward. You take it as it is. Are we together? Now, For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Sister, don't choose somebody that you'll spend the rest of your life debating and arguing with. Choose the right head for yourself and submit to that head. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. That's what my Bible says. Politicians will say in some things, but my Bible says in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I don't know. Certain traditions, they think that mistreating a woman makes them to be more spiritual. It does not work like that. If you take somebody's daughter, you must be willing to take care of them, to love them as you love your own body. There's a way that you don't just talk to yourself recklessly. You are gentle when you talk to yourself. So when you speak to somebody, be gentle. Are we together? And I'm saying that because we are beginning to see the number of marriages, even in the message, are beginning to fail. Because the approach was wrong, the foundation was wrong, the motive was wrong, the objective was wrong. But if the objective is right, the foundation is right, the approach is right, that marriage will work. See, some of the young ones in the message are beginning to have even more experience than we do, that we've been married for over many decades. At 22, married and divorced. At 22. It's a sad case. It is a very, very sad case. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He that does not love his wife does not love himself. And the two are now coming into a union. And the Bible continues and say, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord to the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Where there is love, there will be reverence. And where there is no love, there will be rebellion. Amen. It begins with the man. Brother Francis is the one that approached the sister, and the sister said, yes, I am willing to get into the holy matrimony with you. And from now on, the ball is in the brother's court on how he leads his family. And Brother Francis, I can tell you, the missteps of your wife is often a reflection of your missteps. Amen. How you walk, if you suspect something, just check if it's not a reflection that is on you. But in marriage, I can tell you, it is a wonderful experience. Amen. How many married people in the building agree with me? Amen. Marriage is not a duty, it's a blessing. If it becomes a duty, you need to come to the altar. Amen. I know the sister is not yet that yet perfect with English. I would want Brother Grace to help me. He's our mediator between us and Congo. Amen. You can stand, or you want to sit down. It's fine if you sit down, whatever way. Amen. Just give them a round of applause. And actually, the man normally does not consult with the family when he gets married. He just notifies them. Amen. There is nothing that can change a vow of a man, but a vow of a woman, the father can say, hold on. And if the father says, hold on, we don't go ahead. So we spoke to the father. He has agreed, and the pastor has agreed, and Brother Grace is my witness. Amen. Now, who will I ask to give this woman to be wife to this man? There is a gentleman that they've mandated from home. Is it you?
Yes.
Amen. Now, dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God and in the face of this company to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony, which is commanded by St. Paul to be honorable among all men. It is therefore not by any to be entered into inadvisably or lightly, but advisably, soberly, and in the fear of God. Into this holy state, these two persons present come to be joined. If there is any person here that can show a just cause why they should not be lawfully joined together in this holy matrimony, do you now speak or from hereafter forever hold your peace?
S'il y a quelqu'un qui connaît un motif juste pour lequel on ne devrait pas devenir les deux, je crois que c'est le moment d'en parler ou sinon rester calme et permanent.
And to the two, I will charge you both, as you'll surely answer at the day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed, that if either of you know of any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined together in this matrimony, do you confess it? For be it assured unto you that any couple that are joined otherwise than God's word doth allow, their marriage is not lawful. But duly believing that you have considered this a solemn obligation that you are about to assume, then that you have prepared to enter upon the same reverently, discreetfully, soberly, and in the fear of God. I shall propose to you the marriage covenant as you declare the same as you join your right hands together. Okay. A round of applause for them. So, Brother Kephas, Brother Francis, will you have this woman to be your wife? Live together in this holy state of matrimony.
Vivre avec elle, ensemble.
Do you promise to honor, love, and cherish? In sicknesses and health,
dans la maladie et la santé,
riches or poverty,
dans la pauvreté ou la richesse,
and will forsake all others,
et que vous abandonnerez toutes les autres,
and cleave thee only unto her as long as you both live.
Et vous attacherez qu'à elle tant que vous serez tous les deux
vivants. And if you agree,
si vous êtes d'accord,
vous pouvez dire,
je le ferai.
Yes, je le ferai.
Amen. to Sister Irene. Would you have this man to be your lawful wedded husband? To live together in this holy state of matrimony. Do you promise to love, honor, and cherish? In sicknesses and health.
Dans la maladie et la bonne santé,
and will forsake all others
et que vous abandonnerez tous les autres,
and leave thee only unto him
et tu ne t'attacheras qu'à lui,
as long as you both live.
Tant que tous les deux serez en vie.
If you agree, you can say, I will.
Si tu es d'accord, il faut dire que je le ferai.
Amen. Amen. I'll require the token that this covenant shall be kept. I can put them on my Bible. Shall we bow our heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, here's the token for the exchange of the vows of this man and this woman. They are coming into the holy matrimony with reverence and out of respect for your word. There's so many shortcuts that they could have made, but they thought it would be responsible as believers to bring their marriage to the altar. I'm praying for these tokens. Let it always be serve as a reminder of this great day where they exchange their vows, and as I commit them to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You can take your hands, and then you can talk as you...
Oui. D'entendre enfin là. Je t'avais promis ces choses, ça va se réaliser un jour. Et gloire à Dieu, ça s'est réalisé aujourd'hui.
I promise you that this day will soon come, and glory to God for it has come to pass.
Et le rêve est devenu réalité aujourd'hui.
My dreams have come to reality.
C'est pourquoi je vais te mettre cet agneau comme. Je vais te mettre cet agneau comme un signe d'amour.
I'm giving you this ring as a sign, a token of love.
Je t'aime, je t'aimerai, et pour toujours.
I love you and I'll love you forever.
Je vais prendre soin de toi, je vais te chérir jusqu'à la fin de mes jours.
I'm going to take care of you until the end of my days.
Au nom de Jésus.
In Jesus' name.
Sister, it's your turn. Can put your right hands on my Bible. Right hands, right. Shall we pray? A gracious Heavenly Father, I'm laying my hands upon this man and this woman, and I'm committing this family to you. There's no better beginning than in the house of the Lord. And especially in the time that we are living in, we can see the rampage that has been caused by the devil on marriages, but the Lord, under the authority of the word of God, this couple must be an exception. And I say, let the pillar of fire be in their household, and at all times let it guide the brother and the sister, so that through this marriage, even unbelievers can see a masterpiece. And dear God, even those that may have had doubts about this message, when they see what this message can produce, they must be able to say, what more can we say? I say, Satan, I know you're a liar. I know you're a destroyer. I know you're a thief. And I know there's many things that you may have planned against this family. But there is a prayer that I'm praying this day. And this prayer, I believe, will stand throughout their journey here on earth. And whatever you want to bring against them and all sorts of evil and devious plans that you have, in the name of Jesus Christ, I abort your plans. And I say, Satan and demons should be very far from this house, and let God be a permanent resident in their household. And Lord, we just want to commit everything to you for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
With the power vested in me, I announce you a husband and a wife. You may kiss the bride. God bless you richly as you take your seats. Daddy Benice. Amen. All right. There's been a change of seats, I can see. Amen. Wonderful. So the day has finally come. I have so much respect for the brothers that are here in diaspora. I really, really salute them. It takes a man of character, a man of discipline, to be able to, even with limited means, and to organize the visa, make sure everything is arranged thoroughly back home, and bring the sister back here. And I think, Sister Irene, you are fortunate, brother. Francis just simply says, among all South African women, I still follow my heart.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. And Brother Branham never said it's mandatory, but he would often say, I would encourage a white man to marry a white lady, an Indian man to marry an Indian lady, or a black man to marry a black woman. It was not racial segregation. It's because Brother Branham knows that if they come from different backgrounds,
Amen.
If Brother Francis had married any other Zulu sister, they would have never prepared fish the way the Congolese prepare it. Are we together?
Amen.
So rather than for them to argue about how to prepare fish, they can now get on with their lives. Always check somebody that you've got similarities with from your background, and then you will have a happy life. But I don't say there won't be misunderstanding. Sometimes there is, but with a proper communication and mutual respect, such can be resolved. Are we together?
Amen.
Amen. So I believe my prophet is never wrong.
Amen.
I always take his advices. I'm not going to keep you long, Brother Mhlaba. If you can just come for a couple of minutes, I'm not going to keep you long. I understand you had a great Easter somewhere at Brother Gideon Retief. It was a blessing. Somewhere with Brother George Martin, I spoke to him. It was a blessing. I spoke to Brother Brian Naidu. I understand it was a blessing as well. So wherever you have been, I know that somewhat you have been blessed. Amen. But we are happy to have you back home. But Brother Mhlaba will just say a few words on Zimbabwe. Amen. God bless. Amen. Shall I sit here?
Amen.
Amen.
I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Are you happy this morning?
Amen.
We are also happy to be back home. Amen. We had a wonderful trip last week with the pastor. I think, as you all know, we went to Zimbabwe. We left on a Thursday, and then we came back on Monday. I would say that Zimbabwe, it was an eye-opener for me. It's like the pastor says, that the Zimbabwe that you hear about is not the Zimbabwe that you actually would go there and see. So I can tell you that we were really, really blessed there in Zimbabwe. And then the God, when we left, was with us. And when we came into Zimbabwe, we found out even God was with the people of Zimbabwe. So you can just imagine that combination, what happened there. So I have a lot of snippets that I would like to share with you, just to encourage you so that we know that God is still alive. I saw it there in Zimbabwe. Amen. So we left on a Thursday. And then when we arrived there, we were met by a young man, Samuel Chisa. I think some of you would know him, his brother, the late Brother Chisa's son. So he's the one who took us to a place where you're going to stay. And all we went there to, our surprise, maybe I was surprised, maybe the pastor wasn't. When we get there, we find out also Pastor Chisa was there waiting for us. Yes, was there waiting for us. So when we went there, he took us to his home, and immediately we had a fellowship. I think one thing that we'll learn about the old people, the elders, is that every time they meet a visitor, it is an opportunity for them to preach. So when we went there, we already had a preaching, a sermon, Power of Desire. That was the sermon that he showed us. And then from there, it was just to encourage us, to show us that if you have a desire in your heart, if you set your heart on something and you really want that thing, and you are a child of God, you just have to depend on Him. And that thing is going to go through. So that small message that we had there, even though it was informal, it stayed with me. For me, when I get there, after that sermon with the pastor, my airfare was paid in full. I did not have any regret going to Zimbabwe. Even if they could have told me that you can come back the next day, I would be happy coming back. Because everything that I needed there in Zimbabwe, when the Pastor Chitenzi shared his experience with us, it was all given. Amen. So we had 6 services all in Zimbabwe. The first one was we had the service at Belvedere Tabernacle, where Pastor Chitenzi is the pastor there. And then the pastor had to come and preach, and we were really blessed. The sermon, it was Victory Day. And because it was the rising of the sun, and Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, even though the devil thought by having him crucified, he was actually suppressing, closing everything that Jesus Christ came here to do, which is to save us. He didn't know that by his death, it was for us a victory, because from his death, from his stripes, we were healed. From his death, we were saved. And that is why we are here. That is why the pastor came there with a victory day. And we were really blessed. And then from there, because we had the 2 places that we had to visit. We had the Belvedere Tabernacle that we had to visit. And then also we had Watershed. Watershed, it was a youth convention. So that is where most of my eyes were opened, because some of the things that we took for granted, it was sure it became evident how important those things are, how we need to take care of our youth for that, so that they can become future leaders, so that we could prepare. Because if you don't prepare somebody for something, don't expect them to be something that you haven't prepared them to be. If you want your youth to be better parents, you need to prepare them. That is why if you are a parent, what you and your husband do, it will also teach your children how marriage is all about. That is why it was in the vision of Pastor Chisa to have a youth convention, so that the youth, whatever challenges that they may be in their environment where they are alone, they will be able to share it, encourage each other, so that even people will come there and teach them about life. Because we can sometime not take it for granted, but the fact is that here on earth, it is a journey of life. And life, there's many challenges. There is ups and downs. And if you don't know how to take care of those ups and downs,
you may find out that you may be taken out by the wayside. But if you are prepared and you know that these kind of challenges in life I will be able to face, you will find that you will be prepared for the journey of life. So this convention was to prepare the youth, to enforce them about the journey of life. So they, you, to my surprise, when something like this is prepared, you will think that an elderly person, the church board, is involved. But you find that it was only three young men who organized the whole thing from the beginning to an end, who were even leading it. It was the two Tutani brothers, Jonah and Steve, and also Sam Chisholm. Very young men. But they organized a splendid, very well-organized conference. For me, I was really, really, really happy to be there. In fact, what happened there, it was the highlight to say that our people can do such things. If we give them a chance, if we tutor them, if we lead them in the right way. So they organized a splendid conference whereby 350 to 400 youths from all over Zimbabwe, irrespective of what church you are in, even not even Zimbabwe, even some from South Africa, even some from Zambia, Mozambique, Malawi, you name it, surrounding countries, they also came for that conference. So the opening service there was done by our pastor. And then the sermon there was spiritual heritage. And I think even that sermon, it summed it all, that the people there, the youth, are the ones who are going to carry this spiritual heritage forward. The heritage of what? The message. But only if we give them a chance and then we prepare them now. So that is why the first sermon was what? Spiritual heritage. That was the first day. And then the second day, also, we had also Brother Obed Yoka, who came in also to minister there in the youth conference. And then, as you know him, you remember the sermon that he preached there, Am I a Christian? It was almost the same sermon that he preached there, but the topic there was the Holy Ghost, showing the youth that even if you are a young person, you need the Holy Ghost to be able to succeed, to be able to become a real Christian. Yes, some of us are born in the message. Born in the message doesn't mean that you have the Holy Ghost. It means that you still have to be saved, repent, be converted, and get the Holy Ghost. Then, if you have the Holy Ghost, I think you've won life's shame because you have a guide with you. That is why Jesus Christ said, stay there until you are endued with power from above, from on high, the Holy Ghost. So that is what he taught the youth on. So you can imagine, even me, well, I still feel that I'm still a bit young. Even myself there was also the sermon was for me. In fact, the sermon was not only for, it was for everyone there. So you can just imagine, even after that service, oh, we were so blessed. And then the pastor also came, the second service in the evening, and the message was, what is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? You see, take it in from the first sermon, from the sermon in the morning, now it was for you to show what evidence do you, what is the evidence of your Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. So we are very blessed. And then from there, we had to go head back to Belvedere Tabernacle, where the pastor also ministered there. Now, I think that what happened there in Belvedere was the highlight. It just showed me what Zimbabwean people are all about. What is it that drives them? And the pastor came with a topic which really for me described what the people of Zimbabwe is all about. He preached about reckless faith. Now, in that service, I've been to many services before. I've heard God speak to me in services before. But there, the God came and spoke in a special way. Everybody, the presence of God, you could actually literally feel it, touch it. That's how marvelous, wonderful that service was. And it was because of the events that happened during that service. Because the pastor didn't know that before, I think all of you remember, we had Brother Mloti and Pastor Chitense come to us last year. Yes, so Brother Mloti, there was a sister that he prayed for. The sister had an issue of blood. So he had been to many doctors before. They've tried to give a medication. It will get better, and then from there, the problem will come back again. Now, the sister came, Brother Mloti, before the sister came, he opened Mark 4, verse 25, which talks about the woman who had an issue of blood. Now, after opening that scripture, you can imagine now, a scripture has been read. Now, it's not only about the scripture being read. There is an evidence of the scripture that has been read coming to the fore to give a testimony of the problem that she had. Now she's coming here to give a testimony that it is not only us reading. Whatever is being read can become manifested. Only if you believe. Amen. Now here there was a sister coming to give an evidence that whatever is being read here, here am I. I am the evidence, the manifestation that Jesus still exists. The word of God, he is not alive. It is something that is not in history. It is something that we can actually, the power of God is the power of God in the present. Amen. Not in the future or not in the past, but right in the present. Here am I. I had a problem. I've been to doctors. The only thing that could become a remedy for my problem was a prayer. And then as we speak now, I'm like any other woman, having my days as a normal woman have, not having a problem that persists throughout the month, not stopping. Now, after all that, the pastor came. The pastor now, he didn't know what has just gone on in front of us because he was in the office preparing the message. Now, when he came, he read the same scripture. And then the topic was what? Reckless faith. You can just imagine. The people just could not stop shouting. The amens were through the roof. The service, if it was possible, the service would never end. Amen. So that is how blessed we were there. And for that, it summed to me how the people there in Zimbabwe take the message. That it is only through faith. Because there are many things that happen in Zimbabwe. That the economical upheaval, I think you all know about those things. But you will find out when you go there, you find out the children of God, it's like those things, they don't exist because of the faith that they have in God. That is why Pastor Chizini was talking about the power of desire. Because if you have faith, they just have, that's all they have. That if I believe I want this thing, the only place the government won't be able to give it to me. No, it's not possible. But if I go on my knees and pray, God is going to answer. Now, you find out because of the things that happened there, the people there in Zimbabwe became desperate for God. That is why even Brother Obadiah said, if you are a Christian, there must be a time when you become desperate for God. You want Him. So the people there in Zimbabwe, because of the situation, they realize that they don't have any other way to go to. The only solution is for them to believe God, to believe Him, and not only to pretend. That is why I have a quote before I leave that I will read to you. That you should not be a halfway church. The pastor read the quote, I think, on the message that he preached on total deliverance. Even Brother Obadiah, when he went, he was there teaching about the Holy Ghost. He read even the same quote, that you should not become a halfway church. It is either you become a real church of God or no church at all. Or it's either you become a Christian or no Christian at all. There is no way, there is no halfway truth. It's either you are in Christ or you are out. Because if you are halfway, you will be caught out. Yeah. So that is what the people of Zimbabwe realized. That the only way to survive, there is no way playing Christianity here. That situation is tough. It will require for us to be real Christians. That is the only way we're going to survive this life change. Amen. So that is what happened there. Now, to show you, just to give you a small testimony about how the mindset of the people in Zimbabwe. Now, when we were in there, we had a young man, Jonah Tutan. He was the one who was transporting us from where we were staying to Watershed, where the youth convention was taking place. Now, he gave us a testimony that his father is late as well. I think he passed away in 2016, Brother Tutan. Now, the testimony he gave us was that his mother wanted a house. Now, because of the problem that we're experiencing there in Zimbabwe, they could not afford the kind of house they wanted. Now, his mother wrote a letter requesting God to grant her a house. And she took that letter and then she put it under the picture of the cloud, said, "This is the letter to God." Put it there and left it there. 3 years passed. There was still no answer. On the third year, his husband went to Europe because he was working for Voice of God's Recordings. While there, he met a brother there. Now, when leaving, coming back home, this brother asked the brother to turn it. Does your wife like sweets? Oh, she says, "Yes, my brother, my wife likes sweets." So he packed a big basket full of sweets. And then he says, "No, man, you can give this. Just say this is the gift from me." So he packed that, gave her that basket full of sweets that you can eat. When you go to Zimbabwe, give her to your wife. Pass my regards to your wife. So when they got there, they started opening these sweets. In fact, they didn't even take heed of what's happening there. Now the children were busy. Stephen and Jonah, the brothers, taking out the sweets, and the sister, what's happening? Now, after they've taken all the sweets, they realized that there were some envelopes there, big chunks of envelope underneath those sweets. Now, when they went there, there were hundreds of dollars packed underneath all that basket. And then the brother said, he didn't know what their wish was, but the message was, "Hey, Brother Chuchan, may you please take this money and buy a house, so that when I come to visit you in Zimbabwe, I do not have to stay in a hotel, but I can actually come and stay in your house." Now that prayer that the woman prayed and put under the pitch of the cloud, there was the fulfillment of it. Amen. Now they took the money, started looking for a house. Now the house that they found it was about $250 to $300. And the brother phone said, "No, it's okay. If the money doesn't cover it, use that money for the deposit. I will come and pay the rest of that house." Now you see, now that is the kind of faith they did. Now, to send a message home, while we're busy talking, he came and he told us another story now. His father passed away. After his father passed away, now they could see, there were some, where he was staying in Canada, USA, where he was staying, they could see a rainbow in where he was staying. Now people will come there, "What is this? Is it God speaking to us?" Now on the day of the funeral, the same thing came in where his coffin was. Now they wanted to look, is there any light coming somewhere? No, there was that rainbow that I've seen overseas. There it was now in the brother's house. Now, this young man, Jonah, was not there in the same room where the coffin was. Now, the people, when they saw the cloud, the rainbow, they started ululating, shouting. Now, to show the mindset of the people there, he was in the other room. Now, when the people started shouting, you know, sometimes when you are in a funeral and people start shouting, you think, did anybody collapse? Maybe somebody fainted? Or what's happening? But in his mind, the first thing he thought about was not that somebody collapsed, was to think, did my father rise from the dead? Now, this for me, it showed me the kind of faith that he had, that even his father is dead, the God that he serves will be able to raise him up. He doesn't think about any negative thing that could have happened there, but is my father awake from the dead? Has he risen up? Now, I don't think there are many young people who, if a person is dead, the first thing they will think will be to think, has the person risen up? Now, that sounds to me, oh, these people, there is a God that they serve, that they believe in. That is why now this, for me, this quotation, I saw it in Zimbabwe, that you should not be a halfway Christian. You should become a full Christian. You should not be halfway. You should become a real church of God. I saw it there. That if you become a church of God, maybe I should just read that quotation before I leave, so that you can, because we've read it before, the pastor have read it before, even in Zimbabwe we've read it before, so that you can hear what the prophet says will happen if you become a real church of God. if you become a real Christian. Amen. So it says, if our hearts condemn us, we want complete deliverance. We don't want to be a halfway church. We want to be a real church or no church at all. We want to be real Christians or no Christians at all. We want total deliverance from our habits, from our sins, from our evil thinking, from our evil doing, from our negligence. Whatever we have done, we want total deliverance so that when the people come into church to be prayed for, there will be just a little group, maybe not over 100 or 200 sitting here, but they'll be completely in the hands of God. And when we pray, then God will hear from heaven. God wants somebody that he can hold in his hands, somebody that he can say, I got confidence in. I can send this, my 6-7, to Branham Tabernacle at Jefferson Field. That means I can send my 7, my 6-7 to Lighthouse Tabernacle here in Witbank. And that group of people are in one accord. You see? Unified. One accord. Then what will happen? Something will happen. Well, look, what he does for us in the condition we are in. What will he do if we are in one heart and in one accord? Amen. I will just complete my speech from here. May the good Lord bless you. Amen.
All right, as we stand, I'm not going to take time. Don't worry. In life, let me just teach you a principle in life. Whenever you meet people, always find out what you can learn from the people. If you can be the kind of person, whenever you meet people, you find out that, how can I show that I'm better than this guy? You're going to lead a miserable life. Hallelujah. I remember when I was there in Zimbabwe, Pastor Chizindi showed me one of the guards at one of his places. Then he pulled me aside and said, Brother Madiba, this man, you know. Then he asked him how in the athletic race that he participated, how many people were there. The man said 150, and he said, and what number did you attain? The man said number 1. So if I'm the type of person that I want to be better than the security guard, you end up being jealous of him. Any person that you meet, hallelujah, amen. Ralph Waldo Emerson says, any person that you meet is superior to you one way or the other. Yes. He may be a cleaner, but somewhat, if you stay longer with them, there is something that you're going to take away from them. Amen. And it has worked for me for a number of years. Any person that I meet, I would like to know more about them. Where do you come from? What drives you? What is it that you have learned, your experiences? And I've realized that the more I tap into other people's experiences, the better I become. And if you just, whenever you meet people, you undermine people. I tell you, you're going to walk through life intellectually, morally, financially bankrupt. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to take time. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Thanks, Brother Mslavi. Whenever I travel with brothers, I always give them an opportunity if they are willing to give a feedback. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, he speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, And he is a rewarder of them that seek, or that diligently seek him. As we bow his gracious Heavenly Father, a lot has been spoken. I'm just here to sum up everything. We just want to thank you for all the proceedings this morning. And we want to commit the reading of the word to you. Maybe you'll be gracious to us as we commit everything to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And take your seats. I'm not going to take it. Not long. The same time that we normally come out is the same time that we will come out. Brother Chetty is in Devon with the family. They are back tomorrow. Amen. Brother Dipadi is out of town as well, committed. May God be with them wherever they are. Amen. I want to speak on faith once more. And as Brother Mshavi explained, when we were there and I took the service, I was preaching, the faith of the people was so high. You could literally sense it when you walked into the building. And I had to confirm what he said. I had no idea of what had been spoken. I had no idea of what had transpired before I walked into the building. But I was just amazed that when I read the scripture that had been read prior to me coming into the building, there was just an excitement in the building. I did not know what drove that. And the service, it's not many times where you preach and you experience what I experienced there. Actually, halfway through the sermon, I could not complete the sermon. The way there was an eruption, how the Spirit of God just moved, and those 6,000, 7,000 people broke into only believe song. It was just amazing. I remember I turned around, I said to Brother Chitsinda, I said, I don't think I can carry on. Notes were still on the pulpit. He said, that's fine. Just allow the Spirit to take over. That's when I step aside. So it was quite amazing. Amen. And I believe the God that is in Zimbabwe is the same God that can be in South Africa.
Amen.
And I believe the same faith that has been cultivated in Zimbabwe can be cultivated in South Africa.
Amen.
But a lot of times, maybe even before I get into my notes, a convenient life, sometimes it hampers our faith. Conveniency, if you remember, Brother Brandon says, when I'm in America, while he's busy doing discernment, people are sitting in the audience and say, is that a mental telepathy? Is he reading people's minds? But he says, I come to Africa. One prayer resulted in 30,000 miracles. Why? It's because people did not have access to medical care. They came to the service with hope that our only hope is in God. Are we together? You are with me. Some of you, you know, if I can plot it on the graph, when you were broke, your faith in God was unshaken. But the more the pockets get to God fatter, your faith in God began to dwindle. Because now you had access to the special. Even your testimonies, they began to evaporate. Because now you've got access to the specialist. You can even break and say, I don't like this specialist, I like that specialist. Are we together? But when you were broke in the middle of the night and the child had a fever and you could see that the child was going and there was no money in the bank, you know that it's time for me to go on my knees and call the name of the Lord. And therefore, you had testimonies. How many know what I'm talking about? And that's why Brother Branham says, God will only respond to a disparate prayer. If you're just going to pray and say, whether he does it or he doesn't do it, I don't care. God is not going to do anything. Those that were able to come to those heights where their experiences were captured as testimonies for the generations to come after them is people that were disparate.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Disparation is when you have come to your wit ends. You tried this and tried that. It never worked out. Then you fall down on your knees and say, God, have mercy. And right there, God begins to come and change your situation. Then you have a testimony. Are we together? There are some people that do not have, even don't know where their next meal is going to come from. They are praying and say, God, what am I going to eat? There's no bread. I cannot provide. I'm a man. And sometimes when you hear testimonies of those people, you can turn around and say, foolishness. If a brother says, I was broke, did not have anything to eat, but I was on my way home, and there was a bed that had a rabbit, and it dropped the fresh rabbit. And I took the rabbit and went home, prepared it, and we ate with the family. When you are sitting there and you've got access to KFC, cappuccino, ocean basket, you say, foolishness. But to that man, it is the only way that God can show that he's alive to that man. Are we together? And I'm saying, always be conscious of God in your life. Be sensitive. Is God doing something in my life? And every time, if you don't have the evidence that he's risen, it's about time you go on your knees and say, God, I know that you must be doing something somewhere. And if another believer testifies about you, do not pass me by.
Amen.
Are we together? I need the same experience. Are we together? Now, I'm going to speak about faith. I like how somebody said, I think it was C.S. Lewis, he said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. So this morning when you woke up, you didn't get out of the house and locate it to the sun and say, there is the sun. Based on what you saw that the sun brought to your eye attention, you are able to know that the sun has risen. Are we together? There's no need to go to the tomb of Jesus and say, he was here, he has risen. Just look at what he's doing in your life. It is the evidence that the S-O-N has risen. Are we together? You are able to see clearer this morning because the sun has risen. You are able to see the weight clearer today because the S-O-N has risen. Are we together? I hope you are with me. Now, I'm just going to take 30 minutes, 40 minutes. You'll bear with me. Brother Brum says in the message, Anointed Ones at the End Time, paragraph 53, he said, what is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you. So faith is not a matter of when somebody comes and giveth the testimony. The intention is not to transmit faith to you. You cannot have their faith because faith is revelation. And once you have faith and you hear somebody giving the testimony, that testimony may encourage you and build your faith that you, through your own faith, you experience God. I'm simply saying, if I've got faith in God, I cannot pass that faith on to my children. They must have their own faith. If I've got a faith as a pastor, I cannot pass my faith to you. You must have your own faith. What does it mean? Every person here in the building must have their own experience of God. Are we together? Because the devil is going to ask you, you say he opened the Red Sea, what is he doing now? You say he closed the mouths of the lion, what is he doing now? And unless you are able to say, Satan, this morning, this is what God did in my life. Or yesterday, this is what God did in my life. Then the devil will come and say, the days of miracles are past. And he is a liar. The days of miracles are not past because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So faith is something that's revealed to you. That is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. Are we together? Now, he continues in the message, believe in God, paragraph 56. He says, faith is a substance and evidence of things that the senses of the body won't declare. Mm. Your five senses were not made to serve God. But your faith is able to go and transcend beyond your five senses. That means your faith is able to come in contact with what your eye cannot see, with what you cannot feel, with what you cannot touch. But faith tells you that it is there anyhow. God is in the building. You cannot see him, you cannot feel him, you cannot touch him, but by faith we know he's in the building. Are you here with me, believers? He says in the very same message or in the beginning of Jesus' faith, paragraph 29, now look, what is faith? Faith is a sixth sense. Five senses control this man. God put man in five senses to contact his earthly home. You don't contact God with your five senses. You know God by faith, which is the sixth sense. Are we together? The five senses does not control the sixth sense. But the sixth sense controls the five senses. So that means your eye cannot turn around and tell your faith that is not there. And your faith believes that. Faith will always supersede your five senses. Faith will always, when it says the evidence, that means even before you touch the thing, faith already say you are in possession of it. Are we together? Right now, Brother Bram tells me that the rapture is already in you. Real believers are not waiting for the rapture. The rapturing process has already begun in them. Daily, God is transforming them, moving from glory to glory, from power to power. And that's why they can tell Satan and Satan, you are a liar. Because what he has promised, we are already in possession of it. Are you with me? The super sense controls the natural senses. The five senses is see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. The super sense is something that will make you believe God's word. For that's the only thing it will speak about. It will make you believe for the things that you can't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear, because it will take God's word. It will deliver that word to you and make you walk contrary to any other thing there is but God's word. And by faith, faith does it. Are we together? He continues in faith in action. He says, by faith. But faith doesn't look at your circumstances. Faith looks to what God says. The faith doesn't try to reason. Faith just takes it at its face value. What does it mean? If the word of God says something and you take it by faith, faith will take it at face value. If I say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the super sense will say, I believe that. Yes. But yet the super sense will be without the evidence. It will not show you anything tangible to the naked eye or make you feel it. But by faith, you know that what God says, it is the truth. Yes. Are you with me, people? Yes. He says, in the message, Why Christ Speak, paragraph 160, when faith looks at God's west, it esteems it greater and more valuable than the best the world can show. So that means faith is not only interested in the good stuff. Even when you are going through a trial, faith looks at the trial and considers it to be the most esteemed thing above the riches of the world. Because let me put it this way. When you are going through trial and God allows you to go through a trial, that means God is paying attention to you. Hallelujah. If God puts you into a trial, make sure he's going to be with you every step of the trial. And sometimes in the midst of the trial, God will not speak to you. But by faith, you know God is there. Something encourages you so that somewhat things will work out for better. And what's happening? And when you look at your five senses, they bring a contrary evidence. It tells you things are not going to work out. But the super sense transcends. It moves beyond your five senses and say, by faith, I know things are going to be better. When faith looks at it, when faith can see it, when faith in the word can see the word made manifest, It's more than all the glamour and the archbishopry and everything else you can speak of. Faith does it. Faith. Hallelujah. Faith does it. You can see the worst, the despised, the rejected, the whatever it might be, and let it be at its worst. Yet faith will esteem that a million miles higher than the best the world can produce. Isn't it happening today? When people look at message believers, they look at them at the worst. They look at them as the despised. They look at them as the rejected. But you look at the same message believers, you say, goodness, gold upon the face of the earth. That's the way we sing, I will take the way with the Lord's despised few. You see, faith sees what God wants done. Because faith will always follow the will of God. I hope this goes in. Faith does not look at the present time. So faith, when you are in a situation, faith does not look at the situation. Faith does not look at the time in which you find yourself. Faith has got a long-range vision. Let's look at it. Faith doesn't look at the present time. Faith does see this thing here. Faith looks to see what God wants. It doesn't see this thing here. It works accordingly. That's what faith does. It sees what God wants. And what God wants done, faith operates through that. Faith is a long-range vision. It doesn't lower its sights. It holds it to the target. And any good shooter knows it's a long range. It's a telescope or it's a binocular that you don't look around. You don't use binoculars to look to see what it is. If we were to give you binoculars now, the first thing that you do, you've got to get out of the building, isn't so? You need to get somewhere where you say you want to see things afar off, because the binoculars were made to bring things that are in distance and to bring them nearer and make them visible. So Brother Brown say faith is like binoculars. So that means when you've got faith, you don't only look at where you are. You've got a long-range vision. You can see a promise that is far away, but you see like it has already happened. And we see it with Abraham. He was promised a son, but because he had the binoculars, the faith binoculars, to him, the child was already in the building. Are you with me, folks? Have you got the ability to see what God is going to do like he has already done? Amen. And it says, faith does that. Faith picks up God's binoculars, both of them, both sides, the New and the Old Testament, and sees every promise that he has made. Faith sees out yonder. Faith chooses that regardless of what the present tense says here. He looks at the end. He doesn't drop his sights down to look this way. He looks up yonder. He keeps the crosshair dead center on the way. That's what faith does. That's the faith that's in a man that does those things. Are we together? So that means when you've got faith, we are not talking about the millennium. We are talking about the new city. We are talking about new bodies. To the people that have got faith, you cannot convince them otherwise. Because by binoculars, they are already seeing the new city. By binoculars, they are already seeing their new bodies. By binoculars. So that means a person that has faith, you cannot change him. He knows where he stays. He's anchored in the word of God. That's why the people that are coming and criticizing the message to the people that have got faith, they are late. Because these people, they've got faith. They already see the results that are in the future, in the current time. Because the faith does not look where you are. It looks yonder. And by evidence, it's the substance of things not seen.
Yes.
Are you here, folks?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham says here, the message, perfect faith, paragraph 123. He says, now, notice now, perfect faith is a master of all circumstances. Is there a circumstance in your life that you deem that is beyond your ability? I'm here to tell you, faith can master that circumstance. Are we together? Is there experiences that you have gone through and they have made you somewhat despondent? This morning, I want to say faith can master that circumstance. There is no circumstance that is immune from the effect of faith. And when you, a believer, begins to rise and look at God's word and look at the situation and connect the situation with the word of God, something is bound to happen there. Folks, if a believer has ever seen themselves in the Bible and picked up a character that they identify with and identify their situation with, then you know that something is going to happen. Why? The woman that we just spoke to in Zimbabwe that had a blood issue, I think she must have read. They must have read the scripture about the blood issue. But when she saw that somebody, and actually it was not the same only that woman. There is a woman that we just met there. She was from Malawi. One of the top managers of the bank in Malawi. She was in the service. Somewhat she had a hunger. She was going through some tough time. And somewhat she came in contact with a number of Brother Mloti. And she came to the service. Guess what? When she got to the service, God addressed her situation. Right in the service, she could not stop crying. Because everything that was being spoken, it was somebody had known about this before. And that's what God will do. And I'm saying that woman came to church not to show the hairstyle, but she came because she was desperate. She didn't come to show a new dress. She came because she was desperate. And because God meets a desperate prayer, God was there to answer to that woman. And immediately after the service, she said, I'm not going back to Malawi as I came. I want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one spent time with this woman. No one showed the quotation. But I can tell you, when the supernatural God moves, the devil will never stop the supernatural God. The woman had to respond. I hope we are together here. And folks, when you go to church, mean business. When you go up to church the night before, it's not a night where you just stand slumbering. It's time when you are on your knees and say, God, tomorrow I'm going to the house of the Lord. Be there for me and speak to my heart. And when you come, you take your seat, you are praying in your heart and say, God, do something to me. God is more than obligated to honor such a dedication. But you know why we don't have testimonies anymore? We are spiritually lazy. Firstly, we are even lazy to tell the people about our Messiah. From Easter weekend, did you tell anybody that he is risen? When was the last time you told someone that, hey, my friend, there is an empty tomb in Jerusalem? Because Brother Bram said, bring God to a showdown. And God will not fail you when it comes to a showdown. And I'm saying to believer, testify about God. Even about the things that he has not done. And you say, my God is going to do it. Then you bring him to the scene. He's going to do it. We are ashamed of the gospel. And Jesus says, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before the Father. And if you are not ashamed of me before the people, I will not be ashamed of you before the Father. Are you here, people?
Yes.
If something has worked for you, hallelujah. Yes. If you, there's a young white lady that just showed me, they delivered a parcel to her. It was a Samsung S9. Goodness, she couldn't concentrate on anyone that day. It was her and the Samsung S9. Looking, and every time after 5 minutes, she brags. Oh, this one, you know, it has an adapter. You can just put the USB memory right on the phone. You don't need to connect it to the computer. After 10 minutes, oh, the pictures are so. So I'm saying, she's excited about what she has received. And I'll pause it then and say, are the believers as excited about what they've received? That woman didn't care. Anyone that walked in immediately said, goodness, do you know the Samsung S9? This is how it works. This is it. Telling them because she's excited about the product. And I'm saying, Samsung, what is it, Samsung? Because anytime I even told her, I said, be careful of that food. They're going to steal it. Make sure that you've got insurance. Because why? It is not durable. It cannot stay long. But how much more when you tell somebody about Jesus Christ who defied death, grave, and hell? Young men, you've got to be enthusiastic about this gospel. Time of laziness is over. You need to be excited and go out and tell them he's risen. They will say you have lost your mind. Say, I have not lost my mind. I've got the evidence because the same one that went into the grave came out of the grave, and today he's in my heart. Are you here, believers? When was the last time you told your neighbor that he is risen? Some people are even afraid of the gospel in their workplaces. Brother Branham said, give me 5 minutes with a man, I will tell you whether he's a Christian or not. How? Check what he talks about in 5 minutes. Because what you talk about reflects what you are feeding on. Are we together? And how people know you, your reputation goes before you, and it is dependent on what you are talking about. And folks, let me, those that have experienced God, and those that the supernatural is normality in their life, if you are carnal, you can't stay with them. You'll think that this guy has lost his mind. Are you with me? Well, the people that are tuned to the supernatural, they will tell you about things until you turn around and say, no, he has lost his marbles. But he knows what he's talking about because he's experiencing God on a daily basis. There are some people God visits once in a while, but in some people's house, God is there to stay. And blessed are those where he stays forever. And they can say, you know, this happened, and God just came in and took over the situation. I see God every time. I'm spending most of my time on the road. I drive quite a lot. And there is many times where I survived many accidents until I had to park and just praise God and say, goodness, God, I thank you. Hallelujah. I don't take it for granted. The young man that Brother Mtabi spoke about, John, I observed the young man. And immediately, being skeptical, I said, I'm going to observe this, how far it's going to go. Every time he came to the hotel to pick us up, the first thing when we got to the car, he said, can somebody say a prayer for us before we drive?
Hallelujah.
We go to the service, we spend time in the service. When they take us back, he says, can somebody say a prayer? He did that consistently at all times. There was never a moment where he forgot. Then I realized the young man is not making it to impress us. He's making it because he believes in God. But some of us were sitting saying, no, I've got driver's license. I've been driving for the past 20 years. What will I pray for God for? Then you wonder why you don't arrive at your destination. Are you with me?
Amen.
And the Zimbabweans that are here in South Africa must not change how they were taught and raised.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Brother Branham says in the message, the rapture, paragraph 65. But to the church, and folks, let me put it this way. If you ask God for everything, you'll have a testimony for everything. Imagine maybe it is during the year, maybe your child does not have money to register at a varsity. And you say, my son or my daughter, let's come into the room. Let's pray. God is going to make a way. And you pray, and God makes a way. Do you imagine the impact of that experience upon your child? I mean, the young man that spoke to us, imagine your mother writes a letter to God and say, we need a house. She puts the letter behind the picture of that cloud. Do you think that young man, you can tell him that, no, the clout is not a big deal, walk watch? No. He will tell you that, no. You don't know what you are talking about. I have seen the results and the effects of the coming of the clout. The house that we stay in is the evidence that that clout is from God. But if we stay in a house where there is no clout, no pillar of fire, how do we expect our children to have testimonies? And the scripture says, teach your children that they may teach their children the statutes of the Lord. The Israelites never got tired every morning to tell them, our God took us out of Egypt. For many 400 years, our forefathers were in bondage and they were there and Pharaoh mistreated them and God sent the deliverer. They told that story generationally. And I'm saying, when was the last time you told your children and say, goodness, before the message came our way, we went from church to church and it was just a bunch of nonsense until we came in contact with the message of Malachi 4. And you can even take it further and say, the marriage in which you are born in is the product of this message. And had I not been a believer, had your dad not been a believer, we would have separated. But this message kept us together so that your children can have confidence in the God that we are talking about. But we are beginning to esteem so many things higher than the message. And we wonder why there is no effect on the children. Amen. The rapture, Brother Bram says, or perfect faith, says, so, when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. Faith will isolate you.
Amen.
Why? It's because if you are a man of faith and you have seen the results of faith in your life and you talk about the results of faith to the people that do not have faith, they will automatically distance themselves from you. And you will attract other people that will come and say, oh goodness, what you are talking about, it's our daily bread. We have experienced that.
Amen.
And I told you many a times about the sister that was in Pretoria. She was in a flare. And she kept on praying because she had no means. She had no food. And she prayed and said, God, you need to provide. I need 200 rands. She kept on saying, I need 200 rands, 200 rands. And she prayed. Until the man from the fifth floor came down to the second floor and knocked on this sister's flat. And when she opened, the man took out 200 and said, listen, take your 200 and tell your God to stop bothering me. Do you believe that? Do you believe? You cannot take that experience away from that sister. She saw God on that day, and no matter how wide you want to explain it, she will not listen to you, because humanly speaking, it's impossible for a man in the fifth floor to hear what is happening in a room in the second floor and know that what is needed is 200 rand. But I say, when God begins to move the elements, the devil cannot stop God. When a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. There, now you are getting into bright material. Bright material walks and lives by faith. Now notice now, perfect faith is a master of circumstances. Perfect faith masters all circumstances. No matter what it is, it masters it. When you believe anything and do anything and you've got faith in what you are doing, no matter what the circumstance is, it doesn't have anything to do with it. It masters your circumstance. And I say, don't rely on people. Rely on faith. Because I cannot, as a pastor, I cannot master all your circumstances. But faith can master all your circumstances. And faith, it's a being. It must live on something. If it does not feed on something, it starves. But I don't say it has muscles. If it that, if you've got muscle, for you to have muscle, you must exercise. You must lift weights so that you develop the muscle. So faith, if it is not applied, it lays dormant and you will not have the results. And faith does not operate within your comfort zone. Faith is always a risk taker. It moves into avenues that are unfamiliar. And when it gets there, it masters every circumstance. Until people say, are you going to be able to make it? You say, by faith, I'm going to make it. Because why? Faith is a master of all circumstances. A young man that has got faith, he's got a long-range vision. He can talk about things that are not available in the current moment as if they are there. Because he's got a long-range vision. And never judge a man of faith based on where he is. Judge him based on where he's going. Because he's going to get there anyhow. Because he has seen the end before the beginning. Amen. Are you with me, people?
Amen.
Amen. Now, Brother Moon says in the message, the rapture. He says, but to the church, the bride, and the reason we keep on emphasizing on these things, folks, if you don't have faith that God can provide a plate of bread for you, how are you going to have faith that is going to change your body?
Amen. Amen.
If you cannot trust God on your daily walk, how are you going to trust that it's going to change your body? It's the little things that God does in your life that build your faith towards greater things. He says, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her. The revelation, the true bride of Christ will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. So that means if God wants to do something for you, he's got to reveal that thing to you. And when you see it, people that are around you may not see it. Even sometimes your wife can be skeptical about what you see and what you say. Your husband can be skeptical about what you see and about what you say. And sometimes faith will make you act in an odd manner. If you write a letter to God, to a human mind that is carnal, is nonsensical. Why would you write God a letter? Why don't you go to a bank and maybe they assess your risk and then you raise a loan? That's what a normal mind would think. But faith behaves in an odd manner and says, I can write the letter to God. And when she wrote the letter to God, God anointed a man somewhere who had never seen them at all and said, these people need the house. And you're going to provide a house to them. And let me, God is not selfish. He cannot give you something. He cannot take your thing and say, give it to someone. He will give you something and say, this is not for you. You need to pass it to the next person. Are you with me?
Amen.
And maybe Bram Trabi did not mention the brother that gave them the money. He had filed for bankruptcy.
Amen.
While he had filed for bankruptcy, God anoints him and says, that man needs a house. You buy him a house. Because it's a revelation. Imagine you are going through bankruptcy. You come to back home, you tell your wife and say, hey, honey, with that little man that we have, that man, we need to give him money to buy the house. Or you won't sleep that night. Or even if it's a brother, you won't sleep that night. How do you explain it? I'm broke, but we need to buy this man a house. But God, because whenever he wants to give you something or to elevate you, He wants to test your loyalty.
Amen.
He wants to test how loyal are you to his weight, to his voice, to his instruction. And I believe that after the man had done that, things must have been sorted out. I don't have the story, but I think things must have sorted out.
Hallelujah.
Because God is not going to push you into the deep end without helping you out.
Amen.
Do you want a scripture to that? Elijah comes to a woman, a widow, who had her last meal. And he says, woman, prepare me so that I can eat. And the woman said, no, servant of God. Actually, the last meal, it was for me and my son. And we're going to eat it, and after we're going to die. Elijah says, no, you prepare for me. I can imagine if it was during our time. Oh, goodness. I don't know what they would have said about Elijah. Such a selfish man. And our young ones would have gone even on Facebook and posted a status about Elijah. But the woman said, this is the servant of the Lord. If he says I do it, I'm going to do it. And after she has done it, because faith is revelation, then he turns around and he says, the flour will never run dry. The oil will never run dry.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
But what happened? There was an act of obedience first.
Amen.
Rebecca, give me the water. A certain part was reserved for revelation. That the water must not only be for the man, it must be for the camels as well. And when she got that revelation, she was integrated into the Messianic lineage. And I'm saying to you, what are the things that God said, do, and you have got reservations about? Amen.
Amen.
Now, faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is something that has been revealed to you like it was to Abraham. Abraham, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham. But it says, through faith, Sarah. It was not the faith of Sarah that brought the promised son. It was the faith of Abraham through Sarah that brought Isaac.
Amen.
And that is why the day when Abraham had to take Isaac to go and offer him as a sacrifice, he never had a consultation with Sarah. Because Sarah never had faith, it would have created commotion. But to Abraham, because it's by revelation, he said, oh, if God gave me the son in my senior years, the same God will be able to give me a son. If I kill the son, he'll raise him from the dead.
Amen.
And I'm asking you, do you have the unfolding of your own revelation? Faith is something that has been revealed to you like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Now faith, that's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation, the whole entire body. Walk by faith, not by sight. And you will see the supernatural becoming normality in your life. God bless you richly. As we stand up. How many God has ever done paradoxical things in their life?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I think we need to encourage a breaking session about God. What I've picked up in our country is people, they think if they testify, people will say they are boasting. Isn't it so?
Amen.
But not in Zimbabwe. When God does something for you in Zimbabwe, you run to church to testify. Believers will say, why is he talking that God has given him an amen? But in South Africa, you might attract haters. Some will even say, are we going to God to hear about his amen? And then, such attitude limits God. Because now you are, he does things, you keep quiet. But if he does something and you go and brag and say, this is what God has done. And I'm not only saying material things. Just to come and say, goodness, folks, I almost lost my mind. I was on the verge of depression. But God lifted me out of the abyss of depression. And here I am. The joy of my salvation is restored. God looks at you and says, I'm going to send more and more joy. Hey, wait. Amen. Just give us a worshiping song. I hope we have not kept you. We have consolidated everything within the time.
Amen.
Just sing us a worshiping song.
I am redeemed.
Oh, yes.
I'm bought with the blood. Jesus has changed my Jesus, Jesus,
Brother Philip will lead us in prayer. Brother Philip Andre.
Truly grateful, Lord, to be in the service this morning, our Lord. Just to hear the such great testimonies, our Lord. Just to know, Lord, that as we've been told, Lord, the faith that was in the Bible days, our Lord. Lord, we believe is right in our midst this morning, our Lord. And oh Lord God, just that we may just lift up our faith, our Lord God, just to serve you, Lord, just the way you want us to, Lord. And oh Lord God, we just see how Enoch walked with God and was not, our Lord. And, oh Lord, we also had a wedding ceremony in the church, our Lord. Lord, just a vindication, our Lord God, that by faith we'll be there in that wedding supper, Lord God. Lord, we know we will be there, Lord. You have started the good work in our lives, Lord. You will not despair us, Lord. You will finish it, our Lord God. And we're grateful for all these wonderful testimonies that we've heard, our Lord. Help us, Lord, just to push on, Lord, and just to do what is right, our Lord, and let faith take over, Lord God. As we heard, Lord, faith doesn't look at the circumstance, our Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, no matter what we're going through, our Lord, Lord, the problems that we have in our lives, Lord, let's just look beyond that and see you, Lord. You, Lord, that is risen, our Lord. Death, hell, and the grave is behind, our Lord. And we look at the promise, Lord, that we shall be changed, our Lord God. Thank you for this wonderful day that we've had, our Lord. Bless us all, Lord, and let us just walk by faith in the week to come, our Lord.
Yes.
Knowing, our Lord, that everything is against the bride, our Lord.
Yes.
We just see things creeping up on the world, turning against people that are serving you, our Lord. But, oh Lord, we just know that you are there. We pray, Lord, that may go with us further, Lord. Be with the pastor, Lord. Help him in his daily walk, O Lord. Help every single one of us, O Lord God. Keep your mighty hand upon us, Lord.
Yes.
And by Wednesday, Lord, we will meet again to serve thee and worship thee.
Yes.
We ask in your wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. We are depending on the power from above. We'll see you on Wednesday, 6 o'clock. God richly bless you.
Yeah, we stand before today. Victory is made. Victory in the blood.
Yes.
Yeah.